Greetings, dear friends, in that ever-precious name of the one who at this very moment resides at the Father's right hand, the name our Lord Jesus Christ. I trust you know him as your own Lord and Savior today. If not, stay tuned for these moments of broadcast, and we trust that as we look together into the book of Colossians, chapter 3, that God the Holy Spirit will direct you to the Lord Jesus, God's Son, who died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he might offer you as his free gift eternal life. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Reading now from verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It has been said whenever we're reading through God's Word and we see the word therefore, stop and see what it is therefore. And so, looking back briefly over this third chapter, we find in verses 1 to 4 the believer's new life. He has a new position, risen with Christ. He has new responsibilities to seek those things above and to set his affections or her affections on heavenly things. We have a new address in verse 3. That new address is hid with Christ in God. I remember one of my teachers in Bible school used to tell us that if we ever picked up a newspaper and saw an article that said he was dead, he said, "Don't you believe it. I've just changed addresses." And so it is in Christ. We are hid with Christ in God. We also have a new hope. We are manifested with him in glory. Then we saw in previous broadcast in verses 5 to 9 that we are to put off the old man with an unholy love in verses 5 to 7, with wicked hate in verse 8, and with dishonest speech in verse 9. Then beginning with verse 10, we are to put on the new man. And that brings us up to our verse 12. Put on, therefore, in view of what we have in Christ, in view of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, in us, and through us, and to us, and will do with us, therefore, we are to put on. And then he identifies us, the elect of God, holy and beloved. My, how we can rejoice in Christ. Friend, we who are in Christ, and I want to underline those two words, in Christ, not we who are religious or we who are church members or we who are doing the best we can, but those of us who by the grace of God, those of us who through a simple faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus have been born again and added to his church, we have more in Christ than Adam and Eve ever had in the garden. We have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. We have an indwelling Holy Spirit. We have an inspired written word. We have access to the throne of grace through the blood of Christ, going to God in prayer, things that they never experienced. And we can bless God for what we have today in Christ. Just notice this expression, elect of God, holy and beloved. Now he gives some very practical ways in which this can be done in our everyday life. That is, how we can put on all of these things mentioned in verse 12. But he addresses these Colossians as the elect of God. And this refers to the fact that they have been chosen by God in Christ before the foundation of the world. We don't understand God's electing grace. This is a divine mystery. We believe that the Scripture clearly teaches that God, in his sovereignty, has chosen men in Christ. Now, let me add very quickly that we do not believe, I personally do not believe, that God has ever chosen anyone to be damned. It's a thing that we can't understand. But I trust you'll give God credit for knowing more than you know. I trust that you will recognize that God is omniscient. He knows everything, the end from the beginning. Our minds are so limited. Our minds are so finite. And God is infinite. Just as we believe in God's electing grace, we also believe in man's responsibility. God does not save men against their will. The same Bible that says elect according to the foreknowledge of God also says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe it. And that's why I preach the gospel, because some listening to my voice today have never experienced the saving grace of Almighty God. You have never realized that outside of Christ, as Ephesians 2 tells us, you're dead in sin. You're without God, you're without hope, you're an alien, a foreigner. Friend of mine, and what you need is the grace of God. As in willing submission, you say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Your sentence against me is just. And Father, I bow, sorry for my sin, that's repentance, and I accept the redeeming grace of God as manifested at Calvary and in the empty tomb. But going on, Paul then addresses these saints as holy and beloved. Christian, have you ever seen yourself as holy? Have you ever seen yourself as beloved? This is the description the Lord gives us. This is the way he addresses us by the inspired writing of Paul to the Colossians. Holy simply means sanctified, and sanctified does not mean sinless. It means to be set apart to God from the world. We read about the sanctified vessels in the temple. These are things that were set apart for his glory. We are positionally holy, and we should be practically holy in our lives as well. And this, please note, is only possible by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. There's not a Christian anywhere that can live a life that glorifies God, a life that can be considered holy by the scriptural definition, apart from the empowerment, from the enablement of the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's roughly 30 years since God in his mercy saved me, since he stepped down into my life as a sailor in the Navy, and by the grace of God made me a new creature in Christ. And yet, after some almost 30 years, it's still impossible for me to live a Christian life in my own strength. It is only as God enables that any of us, whether we be a saint, holy and beloved of just a few days, or a saint holy and beloved after many years of walking with the Lord Jesus, our empowerment, our ability, our enablement, if you will, comes from God himself. And that is what makes us sanctified, holy. Because we are the object of God's love, it hurts him if we act in an unworthy manner. If we are in the consciousness of his love, it gives us a desire to please him in every possible way. Paul also describes the Christian graces which we are to put on as a garment. Oh, we didn't mention the word beloved. Isn't it great, friend, to know that you are beloved of God? It's great to know that your family loves you, that you have Christian friends who love you. It's great that you're loved, young folks, by a sweetheart. But let me tell you, it's something else to know that you are loved of Almighty God. All the people throughout the earth, God knows you. And friend, he loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his unique Son, a darling of his bosom, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish or go to hell or be damned and condemned for an eternal lake of fire. But he gave his Son that through faith in him, you might be the possessor of eternal life. But let's press on. Look at these graces that are mentioned here. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. This bowels of mercy might better be translated for our day and age as a heart of compassion. The ancients thought of the bowels or intestines as the seat of the emotions, and that's why we find this expression used so much in the New Testament. But it is the innermost feelings, the innermost place of expression or compassion. Now, as to kindness, it speaks of that unselfish spirit of doing for others. It is an attitude of affection or goodwill. Humbleness of mind, it means humility or lowliness. It is the willingness to be abased and to esteem others better than himself. You remember what John said when he saw the Lord Jesus coming? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He must increase and I must decrease. And that should be my attitude and yours concerning the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm going to just slip back into the wall of circumstances. I just want to get out of the picture. I want to become unseen that the Lord Jesus Christ might get all the glory. Oh, Paul tells us in this very book that the Lord Jesus might have preeminence. He is to have the preeminence in our church life. even in our services when the church gathers. The Lord Jesus is to get the preeminence. So often the preacher might get it, or those doing such a beautiful rendering of some sacred song, they might get the preeminence. But friend, all of our worship, all of our service, all of our ministry should be geared towards the Lord Jesus getting the glory, that He stands in the spotlight. God forbid that I should ever do it. May He be the one who gets all the glory. Humbleness of mind, humility or lowliness, and then there's meekness. And let me very quickly say that meekness does not speak of weakness, but rather it is the strength to deny oneself and to walk in grace toward all men. W.E. Vine makes this comment, and I quote, "The common assumption is that when a man is meek, it is because he cannot help himself. But the Lord was meek because he had the infinite resources of God at his command. Described negatively, meekness is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. It is equanimity with a spirit that is neither elated nor cast down, simply because it is not occupied with self at all." Might I repeat what Mr. Vine said? It is not being occupied with self at all. If humbleness is the absence of pride, then meekness is the absence of passion. Long-suffering speaks of patience under provocation and of long endurance of offense. It combines joyfulness and a kind attitude toward others along with the endurance of suffering. Let's press on. I had hoped to finish through verse 17 in today's broadcast, but obviously we won't. But look at verse 13. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Notice what this says now. Forbearing one another describes the attitude of patience which we should have with the failings and odd ways of our brethren and sisters in Christ. In living with one another in the local church or wherever it might be, it is inevitable that we will find out their failures. And bless God, they're going to find ours out as well. And it often takes the grace of God for us to put up with the idiosyncrasies of some of God's children. But it might take the same grace of God for them to put up with ours, for them to forbear with us. But not only so, not only do we forbear with them, we're supposed to forgive them. If any man have a quarrel, "Yeah, but you don't know what he did to me." That's why we forgive. If we did to him, he would have to forgive us. We would have to go to him or her seeking pardon. I heard the story one time of a lady, and her minister was talking to her. She had a bad attitude, a non-forgiving spirit towards a woman who had done some real injustice to her. At least it looked like that in her eyes. And after the man of God had used the word of God to show her her error and her sin, she finally said, all right, she says, "I'll forgive her, but I'll never have anything else to do with her." And with compassion and understanding in his eyes, the minister looked to this lady and said, "Isn't it great, though, that when the Lord forgives us, he doesn't say, 'Well, I'll forgive him or I'll forgive her, but I'll never have anything to do with him.'" Bless God. Our God has forgiven us. And that's exactly what we see in this 13th verse. How are we to forgive? To what degree? Even as Christ forgave you. Child of God, we are to emulate. We are to follow. We are to walk in his steps. And we are to forgive those of our brothers and sisters who injured us, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us. If you don't know him today, and you'd like to know that your sins are all forgiven, cleansed by the blood of Christ, and you possess eternal life, if we can be of help, call us. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll bless you today. Amen.